Thank you for listening today to our podcast here at Word of Life. We're delighted that you tuned in, and I pray that while you hear us talk, you hear the Holy Spirit speak. I know God's got a big plan for you. We're excited to be a part of that plan. Hopefully, we will see you sometime soon, maybe even this weekend. Until then, we pray you have a wonderful, wonderful week.
Amen and amen. Turn to someone today. Welcome them to Word of Life Church. Let them know how glad you are to see them here with you. We're in a new series entitled Dream On, and we're going to talk about the power of our dreams and also how to reach them. There are three major Bible characters in whom the Bible reports that there was no flaw found in them. Meaning, and most of the people you read about in Scripture, there are flaws you see in their character. Noah got drunk, for instance. Peter denied Christ. Like most of these people, we see their issues. But there are three major people in Scripture that the Bible finds no flaw or fault with. Anyone want to guess who the three are? Anyone want to guess it? One is very obvious. I heard my beautiful wife say it. Of course, she had an unfair advantage. She was in the first service. Jesus. The Bible found no flaw or fault in him. Jesus is number one. Anyone know number two? Joseph. Yes. We'll save him for there. The second one is Daniel. All three of these people are worthy of studying to find out what habits did they have in place that enabled them to live that kind of life. You have Jesus, Daniel, and then you have Joseph. Now, we are going to study the life of Joseph, and his story is found in the book of Genesis, chapter 37. So I'm going to invite you to open up your Bibles, if you brought them, to that passage of Scripture, Genesis chapter 37, and we'll go right over into it in verse number 3. If you don't have a Bible, no worries. The Scriptures will also be on the screens. It said, now Israel, this is another name for Joseph's father, Jacob, loved Joseph more than all his children. How many of you know that's a problem? you might love one of your children more than the rest, but how many of you know it's a bad idea to show it to them? But anyway, Jacob didn't seem to mind. It says here that he made his son, he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all of his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. And verse number 5, and Joseph dreamed a dream. He dreamed a dream. We got anybody in here dreaming some dreams? Amen. Dreamed a dream. And he told it to his brothers, and they hated him for it. See, in Joseph's dream, he saw his brothers were like tares of wheat. And he saw himself as one of those tares, and he saw his tear or his stalk rise above the rest. And while this dream was definitely of God, it probably should not have been shared with man. And he comes and tells his brothers his dream, and immediately they hate him all the more. They already hate him because his father has clearly showed them and him that he loves Joseph more than them. But this dream just, it sets him back even further. Then Joseph dreams yet another dream, and you probably know this one. He sees the stars and the sun and the moon bow down unto him, and he comes and tells his brother this, and he tells his father and his mother, and of course, they don't understand these dreams, and his brothers just found themselves hating him even more, until finally we see something happen later in Genesis chapter 37 and verse 19. And they said to one another, behold, this dreamer. Now, this is interesting. Notice what they called their brother, a dreamer. Would anybody accuse you of being a dreamer? Would anybody call you a dreamer? Like, oh, look, here comes this dreamer. When they saw Joseph, they said, here comes this dreamer. And watch what happens here in this story. They'll keep going in verse number 23. And it came to pass when Joseph was come unto his brethren that they stripped Joseph out of his coat of many colors that was on him. And they took him, it says, and cast him into a pit. And the pit was empty, and there was no water in it. I mean, you talk about cruelty. They throw their brother in a pit, and you know the rest of the story. They see some people coming by who are slave owners and people who would sell people as slaves. It's just boggling the mind. But anyway, they sell their brother Joseph over into their hands, and that's how Genesis chapter 37 ends. Now here's the thing, each one of you, if you haven't gotten already, you're going to read this passage of scripture this week with your dream on journal. How many of you have a dream on journal today? Anybody get one? Okay. Awesome, awesome. If you didn't get it, make sure on your way out that you not only get your dream on journal, but you also get your dream on bracelet, because we're going to study the life of Joseph together, and we're going to give you scriptures that kind of help with each chapter so that you can not only be doers or hearers of the word, but doers of the word as well. So you got to make sure you get that on your way out if you did not get it when you came in. So we see Joseph's journey starts with a dream and him knowing that he is exceptionally loved. And here's what I want to get to you all this morning is the same thing. If you're going to see God move in your life, you got to know that he loves you. You have to know that your heavenly Father is in love with you. Amen. Amen. We can clap for that, right? Right? God loves you. Now, the reason why this matters is the one who loves you also happens to be the creator of the heavens and the earth. This is one powerful individual, and he has set his affection on you. Joseph knew there was nothing his father Jacob wouldn't do for him. He rested in that love. He had a coat of many colors that showed how much the Father loved him, that showed that the Father was on his side, that showed that the Father was for him. Did you know that your heavenly Father has also given you a coat? It's called the robe of righteousness. Anyone ever heard that term before, righteousness? We have any people who heard it? Yeah, some of you. And for those of you who haven't, welcome to church. But with this, righteousness. We hear these words all the time, like holiness, righteousness, all those types of things. But oftentimes we forget their meaning. Righteousness is the ability to stand before God without any sense of guilt, inferiority, or shame. If you're taking notes, you can write that down. Righteousness is the ability to stand before God, the maker of heaven and earth, without any guilt, shame, or inferiority. When Jesus sees us, he doesn't see us in light of our sins, he sees us in light of his blood. This is why you and I can come boldly unto the throne of grace. My children, when they come into my office, they run into my office. My employees oftentimes come in like they're coming to the principal's office. They're like, I don't know. What is he asking me in for? It's like, I'm not even the bad cop. I hire other people to be the bad cop. It's like, I'm always the happy guy with the good news. But still coming into my office, like, I'm unsure. Can I say that? Can I sit there? They're unsure of themselves. My children, they live with me. They know my care. They come right in my office. I don't care if the door is shut. They come right in the office. They don't even think to ask if they can have whatever's on the table. It's like, oh, cake. It's like, I was going to eat that. They don't care. Why? They come boldly. They come boldly. Why? They know where they stand with me. They know where they stand with me. And you know what I found in Christianity? Most Christians don't know where they stand with God. So when they come to God, they don't talk to God about what they really want. They come and like a beggar. They come like the prodigal son did when he came home. We talked about him last week. When he came home from after all his sin. They don't ask for what they really want. They just ask for a little bit of what they want because they don't know they're loved. Your God journey starts when you know how much God loves you. Your God journey starts when you know how much God loves you. I love this passage of scripture in Romans chapter 8. They'll put it up on the screens. Romans chapter 8, this is a good one to look at this week. Romans 8 and verse 32. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us what kind of things? Come on now, what kind of things? Now, what's this verse talking about? God the Father, that spared not his own son being Jesus, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with Jesus also freely give us all things? What's this verse saying? If God loved you enough to sacrifice his own son, if God loved you enough to see his son nailed to a tree, if God loved you enough to see his son mocked, ridiculed, abandoned, slandered, slapped, if God loved you enough to do that, who are you to talk to him like he doesn't want to pay your electric bill, right? Like this is a God who's madly in love with you. This is a God who wants to help you. This is a God who wants you to come in your righteousness without any sense of guilt or shame. This is why people don't dream. The reason why people don't dream is they think they're not special. You are special, friend. And you're not special because you're special with all your little gifts and talents and all those types of things. You're special for the same reason Joseph was special. His father had set his love on him. You are special because your Father has set His love on you. And friend, I'm telling you, all throughout Scripture, you see God come to people and He tells them, you're special and I need you to do something for me. And you know what they do? They would argue with God about how He was not right. They would tell, no, Gideon, prime example. It's like God comes to Gideon, he's hiding out in a wine press. You know the story, or at least most of you do. For those of you who don't know the story, let me educate you on the story. The Philistines had come in and taken over Israel, and God needs to raise up a deliverer. So he comes and he finds Gideon. Gideon is hiding out for his life in a wine press. And God comes to Gideon, it's like, I'm going to choose you to deliver Israel from all their sins and bondages. And Gideon, you know what he says? You know what he says? Me? Like, me? He said, no, God, you got the wrong person. If this didn't show, like, I'm already petrified of these people, hence why I'm here. But he said, in spite of the fact, like, I'm afraid, he said, I am the least of my house. A meaning of my family. Maybe some of you feel this way. Like, when you look at my brothers, my sisters, and all those people, you would see they are way more talented. They are way more educated. They are way more able than me. He said, I'm the least in my household. He said, not just that. My household is the least of all the tribes. Meaning, so it's like, not just is my family bad, but like if you look at our city, like, I'm the least in my family. But he said, don't tell him I said this. My family is the least in the city. Like, there's all these other people in the city that are better than my family. He said, but not just that. In the whole nation, like, of all the tribes of Israel, our tribe is the least tribe. Why are you talking to me about, like, great things? Why would you even bring up my name when it comes to, like, you want to do something amazing? Do you know this is how most people feel? Most people in this room, not this room, you're Word of Lifers. You know better than this. But most people out there in the world, they don't even take the time to dream. You know why? They think dreaming is for everyone else. I had a pastor friend of mine. I was talking about this. He said, I was in New York City. Anybody ever been to New York before? I tell you, I like New York, but I like the places that are like not the tourist traps. Like, I don't know. I went to Times Square. I'm like, this is not for me. This is not for me. Anyway, useless bit of information there. But my pastor friend went to New York, and this was before Uber. I like Uber, too. This was before Uber. You can see your driver, man, before they pick you up. So with this, like, he gets in the taxi cab before the day's, and he's there, and he's like, ooh, this feels a little unsafe. Like, I don't know exactly where he's going to take me. And so, you know, he said, when I get nervous, I talk. Anybody else like that? When you get nervous, you just find yourself talking way more than you should. This is a bad habit if you're a preacher, especially. But anyway, like, if you get nervous, you talk more sometimes. And he said, I was just talking. Like, I didn't know what to do. It was awkward. And so I just talked, and he said, I asked the guy, I said, what's your dreams? And he said, as soon as I asked the question, I'm like, what was I thinking? Asking a random stranger what their dreams are. He said the guy got mad at him. The taxi cab driver got mad at him. Here's what the taxi cab driver said to him. He said, I can't afford to dream. I can't afford to dream. He said, dreaming is for rich people. What's he saying? I can't dream of like a dream vacation. I'm just dreaming of getting off work. I could never dream to like send my kids to that school. It's like I don't make enough money to even, you know, pay the electric bill. Dream. Dreaming is for rich people. Dreaming is for the people who have margin. Dreaming is for the people who like came from good backgrounds and have parents and who gave them everything that they have and they don't have to work for anything. That's who dreaming is for. I can't afford to dream. When's the last time you dreamed? And if you have been dreaming, is your dream a God dream or is it a you dream? Is your dream something God could only do for you? Is your dream something that only the good hand of our good God could come on you big enough to enable you to do it? Friend, I'm telling you, Joseph, the key to Joseph is he knew I am loved, therefore I can dream big. He didn't argue with his dream. He actually believed he could do it because he knew how much he was loved, unlike his brothers. His brothers hated him. Why did they hate him? because they didn't have a dream. When you don't have a dream, it upsets you when you get around people who do have a dream. Because you know what you want to know? Who do you think you are dreaming like that? You need to be realistic. Who do you think you are dreaming like? You don't even have the education. You can't allow people to talk you out of your dream, ladies and gentlemen. Just because they don't have a dream doesn't mean they should squash your dream. They looked at Joseph and said, here comes this dreamer. You know why his dream offended them? Because they didn't have one themselves. They didn't have a dream. You got to have a dream. You got to have a dream. You got to have a dream. And somebody says, well, how can I dream? You can dream because you've got a heavenly Father who loves you. You've got a dream who can, you can dream because you've got a God who can make water come from a rock. You can dream because you serve a God who can split some oceans and make some walls fall with just a shout. That's the kind of God we serve, a God with whom all things are possible. And friend, I'm not talking about like some random dream. I don't care how much faith I have. I'll never be an NBA basketball player. I thought I would be. Girl, I did, man. I thought I would be. Anybody remember White Chocolate? Jason Williams? Anybody remember? Yeah, some of you. He had that handle, man. It's like I'd go out and I'm going to be Jason Williams. And then, you know, I'd go out on the court and I couldn't jump higher than 2 inches. My vertical was 2 inches tall. And I realized I'm not going to do that. I'm not talking about a you dream, though. I'm talking about a God dream. I'm talking about there's something in your heart that God will pull you to, and if you pay attention and you get still enough, God will awaken desire in your heart. But this is the issue with this. Most people, they've never had enough stillness to ever pick up that God dream. And this is what I want for you. I want for you this week. I want for you this week to take that journal out. And we're giving you the journal. You don't have any excuses. We're giving you the tools. You just got to go home and use them. I want you to take that journal. I want you to dream this week. I want you to ask, what is it that you really want? Really, honestly, what is it that you really want? In the book of Genesis, God came to Abraham. And this was after Lot was separated from him. This was after a time in Abraham's life where the reason why Lot had to separate from him was because the land held too much stuff. They were so blessed by God. Kid you not. So blessed by God. Abraham looks at Lot and is like, we've got to separate. And you know what happens after this? God comes to Abraham. He says, I want to bless you even more. I want to bless you even more. You've got to dream another dream. I know you've seen God do something great, but you have to dream another dream. And God comes to him. Watch this in Genesis. Genesis 13 and verse 14. And the Lord said unto Abraham, after Lot was separated from him, lift up now your eyes and look from the place where you are, northward, southward, eastward, and westward. For all the land, notice, for all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it and unto your seed forever. Now notice the spiritual principle. For all the land which you see, that's the land I'll give. For all the land that you see, that's the land that I will give. If you don't see it, I'm not giving it. If you want me to give it, you have to see it. If you want healing, you got to see yourself healed. If you want to be well, you have to see yourself well. You have to cultivate an inward vision in your heart. If you can't see it, God can't give it. But friend, I'm telling you, if you can see it, God can give it. If you can see it, God can give it. You have to work on the seeing in. Let God work on the giving in. You have to see it first, though. And I want you this week, I want you to write down, what do I want? What do I want in my marriage? What do I want for my family? 5 years from now, what do I want to see? 10 years from now, what do I want to see? Financially, what do I want to see? You got to dream another dream. Dream. I love how the Bible phrases that. And Joseph dreamed a dream. It means that God didn't just give Joseph a dream. There was something that was actively involved in the life of Joseph, pushing him to dream another dream. I want to encourage you this week. Dream a dream. Sit down and write out what you really want. Here's what I want to end this message with. I had a friend of mine. Somebody's timer's going off. It's not done for me to preach, though. I still got a couple of minutes. We still got some time. Trust me, the best part is starting right now. I promise. Had a pastor friend of mine. He said years ago, he's sitting with a guy who was single. We got any single people in the house today? And he said, come on, be proud, be proud. Any single people, look around. This could be your day. This could be your moment. Look around. Like, I didn't know she was single. I'm coming back to church next week. I'll take that attendance challenge. Sign me up. Going to sit over close to the front row. He was talking to a single person. And he said, "Here, I want to ask you." He said, what do you want for marriage? Like, what do you want out of a wife? And he starts listing some things, but it wasn't clear. Clarity is power. Clarity, he wasn't clear. Write the vision, Habakkuk said, and make it plain. He wasn't clear. He wasn't clear. He said, tell me with clarity, what do you want in a wife? Like, what do you want out of marriage? So he says, okay, let's make a list. So they start making this list. He's like, good, good. Now, this is what I'm telling you. What do you want? Make a list. Make it clear. Make it plain. He starts making this list. It's like all these things, you know, some things spiritually, some things physically, some things educationally. And he starts writing out all these things. He says, okay, perfect, perfect. He made his list. I want you to make a list. I want you to do the same thing. He makes this list. And after he makes the list, he said, okay, let's use our imagination. He said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to picture yourself in a restaurant. You're in a booth. You're in this booth, and the door opens up, and this lady walks in, and she is the lady that is on your list, and she is single. Come on, somebody. She is single, and she is the lady that is on your list. He said, when she walks in the room, does she notice you? Are you the man on her list? Because you don't attract who you want. You attract who you are. And I got to thinking about that quote and that story. And as I did, man, the Holy Spirit really dealt with me. And he asked me this question. Are you the type of person your goals are looking for? Are you the type of person your goals are looking for? What are your goals? Make a list, make it plain. Are you the type of person your goals are looking for? Joseph dreamed a dream. Here's the only problem, though. He wasn't capable of fulfilling that dream at that age. He was 17 years old. He's a little cocky, a little arrogant. He didn't know exactly how to handle or manage people. He had this place where everything was just handed to him. He wasn't really having to earn it or work for it. He just had a father who set his love and affection on him, but it was just given, not necessarily earned. His brothers, in fact, were out working, and that's why he had to go send out to go find them, and that's when they came with the plan to get him, was because they're working and he wasn't, and daddy wanted them to come home. He's dreaming a dream that he's not quite ready for. So at the end of Genesis chapter 37, you know what you see? You see a season change. You got to be mindful when a season changes. You can feel it. You'll always be able to sense it when a season changes. In the book of Kings, you see Elijah come up to Elisha, take his mantle off of him, big coat. God uses coats a lot for symbolism. He takes the coat and he throws it on Elisha. Elisha's out plowing in a field. He's a businessman. He's not a minister. He's not in the school of the prophets. He's a businessman. But he feels this mantle come on him and he realizes, the season has changed. I'm supposed to be in ministry. I'm done with business. I'm supposed to be in ministry. The season, how did he know? You could feel a mantle like that coming on you. And at the end of Genesis chapter 37, you see Joseph's season change. And you know what God's doing? He's trying to prepare Joseph for the thing he's prepared for Joseph. And if Joseph wouldn't have gone through the preparation, it wouldn't have mattered about the dream, because here's the thing about a new season. It demands a new you. A new season demands a new you. And at the end of Joseph's story, oh, I can't wait to get to the end of it. At the end of Joseph's story, his brothers walk in. It's the fulfillment of the vision. They're bowing down to him. The vision is being fulfilled. Everything he saw in those dreams is coming true. And this is what I want for you. I want you to see your dreams come true. And everything Joseph has dreamed, those dreams are coming true on this day. And you know what the Bible tells us? When Joseph is in this room and he realizes his dreams are coming true, he looks at his brothers and he is able to recognize each one of them. That's Reuben. That's Dan, that's Levi, That's Judah. He's able to recognize each one of them. But you know what the kicker is? Not one of them were able to recognize him. You know why? He was a different man. We want a different life, but a different life demands a greater you. We want a new season, but your new season, it will demand a new identity. You know what happened with Elisha when he felt that mantle come on him? He runs after Elijah. He's like, I'm in. Oh, I'm in. But he goes back. He says, let me go back and just tell my parents goodbye. You know what Elijah said unto him? You can go back, but I'm not going to have anything to do with you. He's got a new season, but he wants the old season. He's got a new season, but he doesn't want to change. He's got a new season, but it's like, I kind of really like that one. And he wants to hold on to it. He doesn't want to alter himself. He doesn't want to grow. He doesn't want to improve. He wants to stay the same, but life doesn't work that way. You don't get a new vision being fulfilled without a new you. So he goes back, and apparently the Lord deals with him. And you know what he does? Oh, you know what he does? He slays his oxen and he burns his plows. He slays his oxen. He burns his plows. I'm not going back to that. And Joseph knew by the end of Genesis chapter 37, I can't ever go back to that life. I'm not this little boy anymore. I'm putting away those childish things. There are some things in that season that were great, but I'll never get them back again. And if I go into Potiphar's house still thinking like I did in Jacob's house, I'll never excel in Potiphar's house. Because in Potiphar's house, I got to pick up a new language. In Potiphar's house, I got to pick up a new work ethic. In Potiphar's house, I got to learn how to deal with difficult people. In Potiphar's house, there's some skills I'm going to have to develop. There's some leadership I'm going to have to pick up. In Potiphar's house, I got to do things different in his house than in Jacob's house. And had he had tried to live in Potiphar's house like he did in Jacob's house, I guarantee you he never would have made it to the palace. And friend, I'm telling you, 5 years from now, I pray when you look at Word of Life Church, you see something different. But I know within every shadow of my being, the only way you will is when you look at me and you see something different. This ministry, it'll never outgrow me. It'll never outgrow my staff. My staff will have to grow. We were in a meeting the other day. Is it okay to go a little longer? Come on, I got five people who told me yes. We were in a meeting the other day with some of the staff, and Tab came. She got a new hairdo, Tab did. We said, oh, we like your hair, Tab. She said, it's my phase two hair. It's because this is phase two. It's like my phase two hair. And they were laughing like, yeah, all of us have a phase two you. And when they said it, it clicked on the inside. A phase two you. It's a phase two you. Joseph became a phase two Joseph. He looked different. He grew. He changed. Something about it. You got to change your identity if you want to reach your destiny. You got to go from Simon to Peter. You got to go from Jacob to Israel. You got to go from a son of thunder to the one that Jesus loves. You got to change. You got to change. You got to change. You got to change. And some of you, I'm telling you, the last couple of years and even months, you have seen, just like Joseph has seen, some things out here begin to change. And some of it has made you very uncomfortable because Potiphar's house looks a whole lot different than Jacob's. And if you could do anything, you change seasons. And God is saying you're missing the whole point. There's something in Potiphar's house that you've got to learn that you're not learning in Jacob's. You got to let go of that season. You got to grow and adjust some things here because this is not your final destination. I'm not leaving you here. I'm taking you a place that's better than Potiphar's house. I'm taking you a place that's better than Jacob's house. I'm taking you all the way to the palace. But you got to learn some things. You got to pick up some things. And the reason why this is changing out here is because I need something to change in here. Sometimes Potiphar's house just wakes you up to a truth that you've been ignoring. A habit that's going unchanged. And God is saying, you got to grow. You have to let the old season go and grow in this one. Because this is not your final destination. How many of you know we got a palace in our future? You got a palace in your future. God's doing some amazing things. Now, I don't know about you, but all of us, 13 years from now, just like Joseph, I pray that we're able to look at each other and not recognize a one of us, because we've been diligent to change anything that God has been asking us to change. Amen. Let me pray for you. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, we love you today so much. And we ask you, Lord Jesus, to help each one of us see any area of our life that we need to grow or that we need to change. With every head bowed, every eye closed, maybe you're here today and you say, Pastor Joel, you know what? I have not been dreaming. I have not been asking God to like move in my life. And it has been because of shame, guilt, and inferiority. And maybe you're here today and you say, you know what? I want to receive Jesus' love. I want to receive his mercy. I want to receive his grace. Maybe you've been like Joseph's brothers, looking at other Josephs and be like, oh, they're the one that God loves. But for me, you know, I've got my issues. And looking at every other Christian in the room like, oh, they're the ones who's got all their act together. But for me, I'm the one who keeps messing up. You've been looking at everyone else and they're like, oh, they're the five talent guy. I'm just the one who keeps burying mine. Today, God wants you to know he loves you. God wants you to know you're his Joseph. You're the one he has clothed with a coat of many colors. You're the one he is for. You are the one that he loves. He's asking you to come home. Maybe there's some other people in this room. And you're like, Pastor Joel, you know what? Honestly, in my life, like I know that God's been asking me to make some changes, but I keep wanting to hold on to the past. I keep wanting to hold on to the mistakes I had been making and the life I had been living. And today, I want to change. I want to be different. I'm tired of dealing with these old habits. I'm tired of dealing with these old mistakes. I want to let it go and I want to move on. I want to let go and I want to move on. I want to grow. For some of you, it may mean giving up some friends who keep pulling you down. For some of you, you're in a dating relationship. You know what? I know it hasn't been good for me. But I keep making excuses as to why I don't have to change, and it keeps costing you over and over and over and over again. And God is saying, would you let it go? Would you let it, the season has changed. Would you let it go? For some of you, it may be an attitude that needs an adjustment or just something in your life that you need to let go. With every head bowed, every eye closed, if you're one of those two things, I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to make anyone look at you. If you're wrestling with something like that in your life today, you want to come to Jesus, you want to ask him for his grace and his mercy to change, and you want to receive that forgiveness, with every head bowed and every eye closed, would you just lift your hand all over this place? Hands going up all over the room, all over the, it's amazing, amazing. Somebody said, why lift the hands? It's a sign of surrender. It's saying, God, I mean business. God, today I see that I know your voice. I'm not going to harden my heart today, Father. I'm going all in. Today, Father, I'm putting all the cards on the table. Anybody else? Just lift up your hand. Amazing. 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 Now, everybody in this place, whether you raised your hand or not, everyone in here, just pray this prayer with me. You can repeat it after me. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I'm so thankful for Jesus, his mercy, his grace, his kindness. Father, I thank you that because of Jesus, I have been made righteous, which means I don't have to have any guilt, any shame. I can come before you boldly. And so today, Father, I come and I boldly ask you for mercy, for grace. I want to change. I want a new season. I want a new day. Father, I come boldly and I say, this is the beginning of the best days of my life, because Jesus, He is my Lord and my Savior. In Jesus' name.